All right, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 12 this morning, if you would. I want to bring you just a little thought. We may be a little low on young people, I don't know, but I'd like for the young people, if they would, to, those that would, come up here and sit on the front too low. All right. I'm gonna allude to some degree to Chad's teaching last Monday night. As he was teaching, the Lord began to just speak to my heart again. And I know I've preached on this before. And really, you could take a text. I'm preaching to the young people, but really this applies to all of us. I could take a text on this subject from many places in the Word of God. But I want to talk to you this morning on making godly decisions. Making godly decisions. Let me pray quickly before we begin. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, and you know my inabilities and my insufficiency. Lord, I just ask you to help me today. I pray, Father, you just anoint me and help me to preach or teach or whatever I'm doing this morning with unction and with power from on high. Father, I pray you'd open hearts. If there's anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, please hold it back for a few minutes and just allow Him free course. And Lord, these precious young people, they need you, and I pray you'd just do an eternal work in their heart and help them. And Father, whatever you choose to do, I'll thank you and praise you for it. We need you and want you in our midst this noon hour. Help us, Father. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read a text to you, just a little short passage, and I guess what I might do is just kindly bring you up to where we're at. Here's the burden of my heart, young people. You all at a young age make life-changing decisions. I don't know why God set it up that way. At 20, 25 years old, most of you will have decided on a profession. We'll have decided on a mate in life. We'll have decided maybe where you're going to live and maybe even the lifestyle that you're going to follow. It may be you're just in church this morning because mom and dad have made you come. I pray that's not the case and don't think it is, but it could be. We have had young people sit on our pews for several years, and when they become an adult age, they forsook the house of God. Can y'all think of any young people that did that? They made some decisions, and can I just say, they don't know it yet, but it's going to affect their life from now on. They'll never be the same based on the decisions they made. This godly decision making is critical for your life. And here's the thing, I know that, but really you don't know it yet. You're too young. Some of you old heads know I'm telling it right. There's decisions we make early on in life that follow us to the grave. That's just how it works. That's how it is. I'm not saying we can't get right. We can't be right with God if we make a bad decision. But many of you all know it'll scar us and follow us to the grave. And so this thing of decision making in my mind is critically important that if we're serious about God. Now if y'all are not serious about God, and maybe y'all are not serious about God, this probably won't mean a whole lot to you. But if you're serious about God, you need to understand and we need to look at this text. And I want you, here's the whole burden. I want you to see how far-reaching a bad decision can be. Now, here's a few of the decisions. Two of the most important decisions are this. What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to turn Him away from your life and live however you want to? Or are you going to accept Him as your Savior and live for Him? Many of y'all have accepted Him. But can I say too, this, what I consider, now this is just my opinion, I think the second greatest decision you'll ever make, young folks, is who you decide to spend the rest of your life with. Your spouse, the one you choose for your lifelong mate. And so having said that, I want to look at Abraham for just a little bit. And if we were to look at Abraham, God told him to leave his kindred, his country, his father's house, and to go into a land that God would show him. He did not even know where he was going to go. And so Abraham made a right decision. He left, but his father went with him. Much we could say about that. Was Abraham wrong? Was he respectful? A lot of things come to our mind, but that's really not the issue. They come down to Haran. The Lord wants him in Canaan, but they stop off in Haran because Terah, Abraham, now he's called Abram at the time. Let me just call him Abraham because his name is later changed. Abraham yields to his father's direction, and they stop in Haran. And so, they stay in Haran till Terah dies. When Terah dies, Abraham makes another right decision, and he begins to journey again. Once in Canaan, verse number six of chapter 12, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, at chapter 12, verse 7, Abraham knew what land God was sending him to. It was this land. I'm not sure up to this point that he knew where the Lord was going to take him. And so Abraham makes another good decision. He builds two altars, if you were to read the text. But then in verse number 9, the Bible says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. I suspect this is just supposition on my part. I suspect Abraham journeyed on looking for an uninhabited portion of Canaan to abide in. That's just opinion. And I want you to notice if I can find this. Notice verse 5 of chapter 12. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all, here's what I want you to get, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So when they were in Haran, not where the Lord wanted Abraham to be, God blessed him. And so he comes to Canaan, where God wants him to be, and I want you to notice what happens in verse number 10. And this is where I want to begin this morning. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now here's something I thought was extremely unusual. In Haran, not the place of blessing for Abram, but in Haran, Abraham was blessed with substance and with souls. I guess servants would be right. But when he comes to Canaan, the place that God has for him, he experiences famine. In the will of God, he has hardship. If you will allow me to say he was out of the will of God, and he may not have been, it may have been right for him to submit to his father, but out of the will of God, or out of the promised land, he was blessed in the promised land where God wanted him to be. He experienced famine and want. And the Bible says it was, in the last part of verse 10, it was a grievous famine. I mean, it was a harsh, severe famine. So, I want to say to you young folks this, you cannot judge your spiritual state by the present circumstances you're facing. I want you to listen to me. You may be in the perfect will of God in your life, having it as difficult as you've ever had it. But because you're being blessed by God doesn't mean that's where God wants you. Are y'all following me with that? Let me just say it to you adults. You can't judge your spiritual state by the circumstances or the situations that's come into your life. You may have it as difficult, as hard as you've ever had it while you're in the perfect will of God, and you may have it as easy as you've ever had it being out of the will of God. Now, we do know we reap what we sow, so we're not through, but I'm just saying there may come a short period of time. Do not judge your spirituality based on the circumstances that come into your life. I believe I'm telling them right. I believe that's a good statement to say. And so here's Abraham, and he comes down, and he's facing this trial of his faith. And we've been in James for 2 months, I guess, in Sunday school, and the fact of the matter is there are going to come times in your life that your faith will be tested. You'll be in the perfect will of God. You'll be obeying God. You'll be trying to do what God wants you to do. But there'll come a trial or a testing in your life, and the Lord is allowing you to see what your faith is made out of and if you're going to be true to Him. That's where I'm convinced Abraham is at. And can I say, all of you, listen, you hadn't been there yet, but all of you are going to face some hard times in your life. That's right. It may be a while. And I'm talking about the Lord chooses not to come back soon. You're going to face some hard times. That's part of life. Listen what James says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, not if he is tried. Hard times are coming in your life. They're coming. Caleb, I missed you when you moved them over here. Hard times, son's coming in your life. It's just coming. It's coming. That's the way it is. It's coming in your life. Luke, just a kid. But I want to tell you, somewhere in life's way, hardness is coming. It's coming. Your faith will be tried. That's where Abraham is. That's where he's at. It's not if, it's when. Across this room right now, I don't know everybody's personal situation, but I'll promise you, in a crowd this size, and it's not a big crowd, there's somebody going through the fires as they sit here and listen to me. They're going through some hardship. Their faith is being tested. The devil's saying to them, if God really loves you, He would take care of this. If God really cared, He would do this. Well, here's Abraham. He's made all right decisions, it appears to me. I mean, up to this point, he's made one good decision after another. But he comes down in verse number 10, and there's a famine in the land. And it appears that Abraham makes a decision to go to Egypt, and it's an ungodly decision. Now, if you look at that, if you look at this verse the way it reads, it's almost as if Abraham, instead of seeking God and praying and backing up and meditating and trying to find direction from God, he just reacts. He just reacts. And do we not have a tendency in the flesh to just react? Just react. We just, something occurs, and instead of us thoughtfully acting upon it, we just react. That's what Abraham did. I want to say to you young folk, don't just react. Don't just react. You're going to choose some friends. Don't just take the first friend or first acquaintance that comes along and be bosom buddies with them. They may lead you down the wrong road. Do you know there's a lot of church kids really ain't church kids? They don't care about God. They don't care about the things of God. They're not interested. They're in church because the parents made them come. Don't think a thing in the world about the things of God. You yoke up with someone like that, let me just tell you, they'll take you down. Here's what you say, young folk. Oh, I like them. They've got a good personality. They're good to me. They're a friend to me. I'm going to help them. And you might help them. It's possible you could help them. But can I tell you what happens in most cases? They'll drag you down. Amen. Fact of the matter, they can destroy your life. Here's a choice. You better watch who you choose to pile up with and buddy up with. It's a choice. You're going to have some choices. Right now, a lot of the important choices in your life, your parents make for you. And they help you. And really, even if you could choose, you like for them to help you. There'll come time you have to make choices. It's coming. That's where Abraham's at. It appears he just reacted. I see no occurrence of him praying over the matter. I see he's basing his decision on circumstances. Never a right thing to do. I see he has a false sense that he can solve his own problem. Now here's what the devil will do if you allow him to. He'll build you up in self-confidence. He'll make you think you're sufficient within yourself to direct and guide and take your life where it needs to go. But listen to the preacher. You're not. You're not sufficient. Listen to me. You need the Lord to help you. That's right. Here's what I think Abraham's thinking. This is a no-brainer. How many of y'all have made no-brainer decisions only to learn later it wasn't a no-brainer? You should have gave some thought to it. You should have took some time and evaluated that thing a little more. You just thought it was a little something. You just, no use think about this. Can I say, some of those no-brainer decisions have far-reaching consequences in your life. It's going to be that way with Abraham. If I can get to it, it was not a decision of faith. It was not, I'm going to trust God to get me through this and take care of me. No, this was a decision. I want to say this, it was a fleshly decision of self-confidence. That here's what I need to do, and I know it'll work out. The Lord, one thing I want you young folks to get, always depend on the Lord to direct your life and lead you. Listen, the Lord, and I'm not teaching rebellion to your parents, but the Lord's smarter than your parents are. The Lord's smarter than your pastor is. I've been pushing this with you all. You need a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to talk to Him personally. He needs to be your friend. You need to go with Him. See, Ben, you would never pour your heart out to me. You wouldn't do that. I don't think any of y'all would. There's things you have in your heart you're not going to tell me. Maybe not going to tell anybody. But can I tell you? You can tell the Lord. He already knows. He already knows what you've done or where you've been. He knows your insecurities. He knows what you are most fearful of. He knows those things. You need to think about this. You ought to make the Lord your best friend. Am I telling it right, church? I mean, here's our kids needing some help, and we're not going to be around forever. They need somebody they can turn to. The Lord would be about as good as any, wouldn't you think? I say He's better than any. Amen. Now, the one saying amen is older folks that's walked down this road ahead of you. And here's what I know. If the Lord hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have made it. And I can tell you that. And I'm not anything, and maybe that's why there may be some strong people can make it without the Lord. But had the Lord not helped me, had I not been able to go to Him and just pour my heart out to Him, and tell Him where I was at and the help I needed, and would He please help me? I would not have made it, young folk. So here he is. He makes a decision without prayer. He reacts and without praying and based on the temporary circumstances and a false sense of self-ability, he decides to go to Egypt. And the Bible says he's going to sojourn there. He's just going to stay for a little while. Maybe that's what he did. I don't know how long he stayed. But he goes down to Egypt. But was there any consequences to what he did. This is really where my message is at. This is really where I was wanting to get to this morning. I mean, really, it makes sense. No food where he's at, or little food, very little. It just makes sense to go to Egypt. There's food down there. He don't have to think long. I mean, they're struggling here, and he's got a family, and he's picked up some servants and some others in Haran. He has Lot. It just makes sense to go to Egypt. Wouldn't y'all say that in the flesh? Would you say that then? Yes, no, yes. Sure it does. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. But I want you to look in verse number 12. What was the results of just making a decision without God? Verse number 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall... This is Abraham talking to Sarah. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. The first thing I seen, it brought the fear of man into his life. You know what keeps the fear of man at bay in our life? The Holy Spirit. That's right. Maybe some of y'all fear men. Maybe some of y'all are afraid you'll be rejected by your friends if you live right. You probably will be. You probably will be. But you know what helps you conquer the fear of man? That being right with God and knowing the Lord's going to help you and be with you along the way. But when you get out of the will of God and you know you do not have the favor and blessings of God, many times it'll bring fear in your life. I'm going to tell you, there is a fear of God that is healthy. Let me just stop and just put a little disclaimer in here. It's right to fear God. You ought to fear God. You ought not to fear man. You all with me this morning? You following me? Don't let a bad decision with a bad, avoid bad decisions as much as you can. With a bad decision, many times it brings fear in your life. Notice too, and as we read on in verse 13, here's what he says to Sarah. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Now there's a half-truth in that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, out of the will of God, after making a bad decision and out of the will of God, what is the spirit that Abraham has? Can I say to you, you know who he was really concerned about? Himself. Out of the will of God, God's people become selfish and self-centered people. You do believe the Christian life's a life lived for others. That is what the Christian life's about. And by the way, selfish people are unhappy people. They never are satisfied. Never. If you're selfish, you ought to get right with God. When you get right with God, you live your life for others. And for God. I know ultimately it's for God. But as you live for God, you live for others, you see. Not Abraham. He's selfish at this point. I want you, can I say too, he had no concern for purity or holiness. He knew, here's what he knew, there's the possibility that somebody was going to take Sarah, his wife, and marry up or abuse her immorally or take advantage of her. But he didn't care. Now, I know Abraham's a great man, but he's having a little... He's made a bad decision. He's not where God wants him to be. And at this point in his life, he's not concerned about his family or his wife, rather. And he's willing to sacrifice her purity for his protection. And let me just say this to you. Don't you listen. I know we've got cell phones and iPads, and I pray your parents are smart enough to control it. God expects purity out of your life. He expects you to live pure. Let me just elaborate. He expects you not to look at what you ought not look at. Not to go where you ought not to go. He expects you to keep sin out of your life. And when you do sin, He expects you to confess it and get right with Him and be restored. 1 John 1. He expects that. Purity is a demand or a command, I guess would be a better word, of our Lord for our lives. But here's Abraham out of God's will, and he's willing to sacrifice purity to protect himself. His wife's purity for his own selfish reasons. Now here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Bad decisions affect your family. They affect your family. Now here's what the devil will tell you. It's my life. I'll do what I want to with it. It doesn't hurt anybody but me. That's a lie out of hell. When you choose to go contrary to God and get your life involved in sin, it affects those that love you. More parents have grieved over a wayward child than you can ever imagine. They have laid on their bed at night and wept and cried over some child out there in the far country, living a riotous life, and mom and dad's at home weeping and begging God to show mercy and wondering what they did, where they failed, and how they come up short. You listen to me, your life affects others. Don't you ever forget it. The decisions you make affect your family. We're going to say it's going to affect Lot. We're going to say it's going to affect Lot's children. It's going to affect little Hagar, little Ishmael. Can I tell you, everybody associated with Abraham was affected by his decision to go to Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. That's what it's a type of. Maybe I should have said that sooner. Egypt's in typology. It's a type of you going back into the world, living for the devil. Abraham didn't stay there. It's just a little while. And you say there wasn't much damage done. Oh, there was great damage done. When I look at the damage that sin can wreak, the far-reaching impact of sin in a life, I stand amazed. Now, I could go on and I could preach about this, but you do know he took Lot into Egypt with him. Y'all know that. Lot is standing by watching what's going. By the way, let me just back up and get this. He affected the king. Pharaoh. Notice verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" He now knows that Sarah is Abraham or Abram's wife. And he says, why didn't you tell me? Why'd you lie to me? Why'd you deceive me? Might be a better word. Why saidest thou, she's my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. Can I tell you, he destroyed his testimony and influence with the world. Here's what Pharaoh, king of Egypt's thinking. He's just a liar. What a pitiful excuse for a man to sacrifice his wife. You reckon Abraham could have told Pharaoh what a great God he had after that? And it meant anything. Here's what I'm saying. When you make bad decisions, it's going to start robbing you of your testimony and your influence for the glory of God. You need to remember that. My, that good testimony in Him. And I understand you can get some of it back, but can I tell you, you'll suffer some loss that'll never be reclaimed. What decisions you going to have to make, fellas? The friends you keep, the music you listen to. I know your parents controlling that to a degree. What you watch on your cell phone when nobody's looking. Them ungodly television shows that's promoting immorality, cursing. What kind of consequences is that going to bring? Here's Abraham. All he did was go down into Egypt so he can have some food. He just made a bad decision. Instead of trusting God, take care of him, provide for him, he just went down there so he could eat. Let me say it this way, and it'll have a ring of spirituality about it. He just went down there to provide for his family. It was a wrong decision. It lacked faith. He wasn't trusting God. And it cost him. It cost him his testimony. He brought a shame. I think he brought a shame and reproach on the Lord. Fact of the matter, he risked God's plan for he and Sarah's life. They had a promise that through their seed, and it hadn't came yet. Through their seed, the world was going to be blessed. The Savior was going to come. A great nation was going to be formed. What if Pharaoh had taken Sarah? I know we can argue and talk about the providence of God. I understand that. Fact of the matter is, though, Abraham made a bad decision. He made some good decisions, but this was a bad decision. And it's really, in some ways looking at it, it was really a no-brainer decision. But it wasn't the right decision. He risked God's plan for his life. You know, there's men who have made decisions and it costs them the will of God for their life. It'll follow them for the rest of their life and they'll die. Down in their soul, grieved because of the decision they made. Well, Abraham's in Egypt. He takes Lot down into Egypt. And the king uncovers the fact that Sarah is his wife, and he has given Abraham great goods for Sarah. But he tells Abraham to get out of Egypt. Leave Egypt. If I can, in chapter 13, let's read verses 1 and 2 and then verse 5. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. And here's a sad note. And Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Verse number 5. And Lot also, which went up with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And you know the rest of the story. We'll get to it in a little bit. But here's what I want to ask you. If they were rich coming out of Egypt, if they obtained their cattle and their silver and their gold in Egypt, would I be safe to say that the strife, had they not went to Egypt, had they not gotten the riches in Egypt, would I be safe to say there may not have been strife between Abraham and Lot? What do y'all think? Would I be safe to say that the strife that occurred was an indirect result of Abraham's decision to go to Egypt? I think that's right. I think that's right. I think the reason Lot and Abraham, their herdsmen, had a strife was because of what they picked up down in Egypt. And so they come back and there's a strife, and Abraham tells Lot, just choose which way you want to go. And I want you to look in verse number 10. Lot had got a taste of something good down in Egypt. And Lot lifted, verse 10 of chapter 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Why would that be important? He has cattle. He has cattle. I know I'm not telling y'all anything you don't know, but I'm going somewhere with this. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even... Now, I want you to listen to this phrase. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. He found a place that looked like the land of Egypt. And can I tell you, that's the choice he made. He had been down in Egypt. He saw the prosperity. He saw all the cattle and the gold and silver. And here's a place. Plenty of grass. Man, the cattle I can raise. The riches I can produce down here. And so, here's what Lot did. He chose those well-watered plains. He made a decision. And those well-watered plains, as far as I can tell, adjoin Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know as well as I do, in Sodom, the men were exceedingly wicked. Would I be safe to say, had Abraham not went down to Egypt, that Lot wouldn't have had the need to have make a decision of where to go? And had he not had the cattle that he got in Egypt, he would not have needed well-watered plains. Would I be safe to imply that Lot's wrong decision indirectly was influenced, at least was influenced, by Abraham's bad decision to go down to Egypt? Had he not? Now, I know Abraham, I know Lot might have just chose to go down there out of curiosity or whatever else. But the fact of the matter was, he went down, he started in that direction because of the well-watered plains. And when the angels come to town, he's in the gate. And the gate is where the business went on. Somewhere along the way, Lot gets closer and closer and closer to Sodom. And it's all a result of Abraham's decision way back here. And so God decides He's going to destroy Sodom. Now, the Bible says Lot had sons, plural. At least two sons. He had sons-in-law, plural, at least two. So that meant he had two married daughters. He had at least six, maybe more, maybe grandchildren, who are in Sodom. He's in Sodom. Now, here's what's going to happen. The Lord's going to destroy that. So Lot goes to that family, and guess what's happened? Lot's lost his influence. They laugh at him. How many of your family members would laugh at you? You try to talk to them about the Lord. They'd just mock you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Go ahead. The way you live, I live better than you do. I wonder how many would. Make a long story short, God does destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I say Lot got out two single daughters? Two daughters who were single. That means Abraham's decision influenced, I would like to say caused or resulted in, and we can blame Lot. I understand he made some bad choices. Those bad choices was a result of Abraham. And those bad choices led to the destruction of Lot's children, except for the two girls. And really, they was destroyed, just in a different way. Whole family was destroyed. Abraham's decision to go into Egypt had an effect on Lot's children, and let me just say it, his grandchildren. You say, you mean that decision carried over to another generation? That's exactly what I'm saying. Got an individual in this church, and he told me this. He said, you know, I was looking through an old Bible, and I saw where one of my relatives back in the 1800s was a Baptist, maybe said Baptist preacher, at least attended a Baptist church. Somewhere along the line, for several generations, his family had been in the Episcopal church. And he says, I just wonder who made the decision. His whole family's lost. His whole family, or basically those close to him anyway, they're lost. And his grandparents was lost as far as that's what he's telling me, he thinks. And he said, I just wonder who made that decision years ago to leave the truth and to yoke up with error. And for generations, that one little decision has affected for generation after generation after generation. You see, Abraham's decision to go into Egypt led Lot to decide to choose the well-watered plains, which led him to Sodom. And then Sodom robbed him of his family. You think Abraham's little no-brainer decision had any repercussions? Can I tell you, it had far-reaching. Far-reaching repercussions. What you do is going to affect your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even your great-grandchildren for years to come. Just a little simple decision. That's all it was. I could just keep talking. What about Hagar? A little maid girl they brought up out of Egypt. I'm convinced she's an Egyptian handmaid. I'm convinced she came out of Egypt with Abraham. There's little Hagar. She's robbed of her family. Made a servant. Bore Ishmael. Was cast out. Grieved over the fact. The point I'm trying to make, her son was declared he'd be a wild man all his life. That's what the Bible said about it. He'll be a wild man all his life. Here's what I'm saying. Abraham's decision affected little Hagar, little Ishmael. Now let me just tell you something you might not know. The fighting in the Middle East is over the promises to Abraham through Isaac. The seed of Ishmael says they're Abraham's sons, and that those promises belong to them. That land belongs to them. Can I say Abraham's decision still has implications even today? And all he did was go to Egypt because of food. You would say, Papaw, if it's Ben, if it's you, you'd say, Papaw, that's crazy. You know he needed to go to Egypt. No. No, what he needed to do is just trust God. Here's what I'm saying to you. Our faith is going to be tried. You're going to have to make a decision. Can I tell you what, do young folk? Just trust God. Just trust Him. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. I've been saved 52 years. 52 long years. Can I tell you? There's never been a day my God's not been faithful to me. Glory to His name. I praise Him. What a great God. He's taken care of me all down through the years. Even when I couldn't take care of myself. Can I tell you, young folk, I've never missed a meal. I've never had to lay out under a tree and try to make me a pillow because I didn't have a bed to sleep in. Man, I've always, what I'm trying to say, God's always took care of me. And even when it looked like things was hard and difficult, can I just tell you, God's been taking care of me. I look back, Brother Hill, I know you can do this. I look back and I just see the unseen hand of God that's guided and directed and led me and provided for me and protected me all down through these years. My point is, young people, you can trust God to take care of you. And the decisions you make have far-reaching implications. We could just take this thing on. I could talk about the Amorites. The Amorites and the Moabites, they were the result of the incestuous, probably not the right way to pronounce that, relationship between Lot and his daughters. And I'm not going to get into all that, but those Ammonites, Moabites, they're the enemy of Israel. We can follow that down. My result, Abraham's decision. And everyone in this room that has any age on can say, look back and see some bad decisions we've made that's had far-reaching implications on our children and our grandchildren. And here's what I say, and I've heard some of the rest of you say it. You said this, I'd love to go back and do it over. But can I tell you, we can't. We just can't. It's too late. But it's not for you. It's not for you. Go with God. Just go with God. Put Him first in your life. Submit to godly authority that He's put in your life. And go with Him and ask Him. Ask Him what you ought to do when those decisions come your way. Listen to me. Your decisions have far-reaching implications. Let's bow our head this morning. Grace is coming to the piano, and she's gonna play. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's struggling. I don't know if you need prayer. You don't. I've just tried to preach what God gave me. Put God first, young folk. Put Him first in your life. Let Him have His way. If you need to pray, we're going to give you a verse or two to come if you need to.